family and friends, welcome to worship this morning. And we have been in an Advent series of going through the Gospel of John. And we have been in Advent all of the week so far in just chapter 1. You know, there's this wonderful prologue, right, at the beginning of John. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word took on flesh and made His home among us. His home, Emmanuel. From incarnation, the gospel writer John goes to talk about John the Baptist preparing the way, and it's a way of repentance. Preparing the way for what? Well, preparing the way for the actual Savior of the world, Jesus Christ, who comes bringing salvation. And in that same chapter, John goes from incarnation to salvation to discipleship, where Jesus says, "Come and follow me." It's a beautiful way to spend Advent. And the question I want to bring today, because I'm going to read from our text in a minute, we are going to leave the Gospel of John, but we're going to continue in John into the new year 2024 as long as we need to be there. See where the Holy Spirit leads and speeding up and slowing down and those kind of things. But I plan on for sure preaching through the Gospel of John until Easter, maybe beyond. But we're going to break today to consider the story of the Magi in Matthew chapter 2. And I'm just going to read those 12 verses a minute to begin today. And I'm going to ask you to stand for that. And in a way of standing under, but also recognizing the authority of God's Word today, we are a community of faith, right, that are founded and grounded on the written Word and the living Word. Here it is from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. They replied, "In Bethlehem in Judea, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child, and as soon as you find him, report back to me, so that I too may go and worship him." This is Herod. After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary. They bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. What they did was an angel came to Joseph and said, "Herod is not going to come and worship this child. Herod's going to come to kill this child." So they fled to Egypt. This is Jesus' early days in life with his mother and father, Mary and Joseph. This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. You can be seated. All right, a couple of things today. First of all, just some context. And I'm going to give just a few things I want to give context on. Bethlehem, a couple words about Magi, and then also some words about Herod, King Herod. All of these things mentioned in our story today. Bethlehem, long before Jesus was born, another baby was born there. One who became a shepherd boy. One who, even as a young shepherd boy, wasn't even to be on the battlefield with his brothers, saw a giant profaning the name of God, mocking, and he goes out there and dares to go out there, and he, with a few stones and a sling, he kills the giant Goliath. This David, born in Bethlehem, this shepherd boy, goes on to become the king of Israel. Jesus' birth in Bethlehem is, again, fulfillment of promise and prophecy. This all actually happened. This is history, grounded in eyewitness and careful oral tradition and writing down of truth. In Bethlehem, a small village of Judah, at the time of Jesus' birth, now this is many years later, King David, the promise made to him that one will come, will rule on this throne forever and ever and ever and ever. And now we are 2,000 years ago, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. It's still a small village in Judea. And Bethlehem in Jesus' day sits in the shadow, you can see it in the horizon, of this mountain. This is a man-made mountain by King Herod. It's stunning. On top, there's a fortress, a palace-type home, everything needed. King Herod, worthy of ingenuity, imaged God in ways that are quite profound when it comes to all the things that he built and accomplished in his short life, maybe 30 years or so, I think, about the same as Jesus. And into this context, that's looking down from this man-made mountain, easy to defend, right? Everything's downhill if you're on top. King Herod isn't even a legitimately elected, so to speak, king. He's not born of the lineage to be a king of Israel. So think about the contrast here. Jesus can't even find a place to be born. There's no room in the standard places with a little more plush, probably accommodations. Maybe a little softer landing to have a baby. Instead, he goes outside of town, and in the shadow of this man-made mountain, the Savior, the King of the world, is born. You want to know what a manger looks like? I know we have this. It's because we didn't want to take in a big hunk of stone. There's a manger. A feeding trough for animals. Compare that to Herod's palace. It's stunning, the contrast. A couple words about Magi. Magi are astronomers from the East. They come from Arabia and Persia. They study the stars and they look at all the heavenly bodies and they interpret things and they see signs. Certainly they are well-read, they're knowledgeable, and they are searching and seeking for something. They found something new among the heavenly bodies, and they believed this to be the sign of the birth of a king. So they traveled to welcome this newborn king and offer royal gifts, by the way, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, I have what's labeled here, frankincense. It's like a fragrant spice or an aromatic resin, okay? Now, I know there may be some people here who are not great with smells and things. I don't want to make this a bad experience for you, but I wanted to also make it a good experience for many of you. But I'm going to pass this around, frankincense, and just simply do this. Learn this from my wife. In this place, yeah, I do it so well. Practice. So, frankincense. Myrrh. Couldn't find myrrh, but I have camphor. Somewhat similar. You can just simply smell it if you want. You can simply just pass it by. You can put some on you, but I guarantee you it won't be long and this place will be smelling fragrant. What do you use frankincense and myrrh for? Anybody have a guess? Burial. Unto us a Savior is born. Do you have the cap with that? I'll just take it. And whoever ends up with it last, go ahead and bring it up, and I'll tell you what, you put it right here. Herod. I already said he's by no means the legitimately born king of Israel, and yet there the imposter sits in a man-made mountain of self-grandeur. And what does Jesus do? He's God Almighty. He puts his glory and honor aside. He takes on human nature. He comes in the weakness of a baby, this king, this Lord of all creation. He's born where the animals are, and he's placed in a feeding trough for animals. And he comes and he says, follow me, as he grows older and he teaches us how to live and how to be and how to walk and how to enjoy life in all of its fullness. An invitation of grace. Just receive it. So today, the question is, what are you, what am I going to bring and give to this newborn Savior of the world? I want you to be thinking about that question. The first thing that comes to my mind right away, you know, what can I bring him? What can I bring him? And I think of bringing God my heart. Mi corazón. My heart. The song in the bleak midwinter, verse 4 says, what can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring him a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. The heart certainly is a most vital organ in your chest. It's at about the center of your being and so vitally important that if your heart stopped beating, you would cease to exist in the body. It's that important. Sorry. That's a good my heart music there, actually. I like that. The heart, okay, is the most important physical organ of the body. Now you can argue there's others too, right? Your brain, whatever you want to say. But the heart. In biblical understanding, the heart is the core of one's inner being. The source of the mind, the will, the soul, the emotions, thoughts, motivations, actions, all of it in wholeness, working together as a whole person, created in the image of God. It is the central house where all this is integrated. It's who you are. Your heart. We highlighted it last week in Ezekiel as we looked at prophecy being fulfilled, where God makes a promise. I will give to them an undivided heart. I will put a new spirit in them. I will remove from them a heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Jesus is born to fulfill this promise. These Advent 2023 messages have been filled with promise and prophecy, fulfillment, one after the other. Just in one chapter of John, it's like just lights up all over the place. Remember what John says when he sees Jesus just walking down the road. This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He's the chosen one. And then he says, I must become less and he must become greater. And when Jesus says, follow him, and he shows us the way to salvation, he gives us his salvation. He says, follow me. It looks like a life of service, a life of love, a life of submission to God's will and his ways. What can you give him? Give him your heart. Start there. Advent week one, we understood that as Emmanuel, do you remember this? Jesus stepped into darkness. He steps into our darkness. So this may seem strange to you today. Oh, they bring gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. It just sounds also wonderful. But do you want to know actually how wonderful it is? Jesus says, invites us to come, right? And to give him, you want to bring something to him? Bring to him your brokenness, your mourning, your shame, your loss, your grief. Bring it to Jesus. It's almost as if Jesus says, bring it on. Bring it on. Nothing too big. Nothing too horrible. Nobody too worthless. Bring it. That was week one of Advent. Week two, we just continued with the story of John, and we saw John the Baptist bringing repentance. We saw Jesus being the actual way of repentance. And Jesus will give the invitation to us, you know, shortly here. Believe in me, because I'm the way, the truth, and the life. You may ask at Christmas 2023, which is now, what can I give him? Well, bring to him your repentance and your confession. He says, bring it. Bring it. And I will give you forgiveness. I'll give you salvation. I will give you a Holy Spirit to fill you with life. Wow. Do you think about that when you hear the question, what can I bring him? He wants you to bring it. He invites you to. The last thing, last week, we saw right away that Jesus, right, he begins to start baptizing as well, and he's baptizing with the Holy Spirit, as was promised would happen. We can also bring to Jesus, and I think a lot about this. I'm going to say a few words in conclusion of the message today is, you know, I'm always someone who loves to, I love the end of a year and the beginning of a new year. I know it's just another day. I don't know how you think about New Year's resolutions or those kind of things, but I am someone who really embraces that and loves that. Because it's almost like Jesus' salvation for me. It's like when I confess or there's repentance, I have a fresh start. I actually kind of think about that in the sense of a new year. So brothers and sisters, followers of Jesus Christ, in a new year, what are you going to bring him? What are you going to give? Will you give? And look, he's bringing gifts. Thank you. Jesus invites us to bring our seeking, our finding, and our following. He says, bring it on. Give it to me. What will you give this newborn king? You know, we're going to hear in the Gospel of John as it unfolds, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the vine and the branches. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's true. This is who this newborn baby is. So, we bring all of these things. We're at the end of 23. 2024 is now dawning. And I ask the question today of you, and I'd love you to ponder it. I have been thinking about this. I had someone here last week, right after the message was done, kind of thinks like I do about the new year or whatever. He comes to me and he starts saying, here's my sort of 10 to 12 things. He had a lot of them that I'm going to be put as goals that I'm going to sort of work towards in this next year. And he shared them with me. And it kind of lit a fire under me, like I'm going to do the same thing. So I'd be happy to share with you some of those things into the new year of things that I know God is calling me. I'll share one or two of them here briefly before we conclude. But I really want to hear what yours are. What is it that God is doing in your life or moving you towards? How is he using the experiences in your life? I don't care if it's brokenness, grief, and loss, or if it's just wonderful joy and beauty. Realize that Jesus came and entered into all of that as Emmanuel. And he wants to use all those things, and he wants to use your life as a living testimony for his glory. What can you bring him? What can you bring? It's a perfect line to square your life up. It's a perfect time for that. Or to make it plumb. I tried to think of some other terms. You can think of some other things. But our relationship with God. The Savior has been born. It's good news. Come and bring to him anything that you need to this morning. And as you look into a new year, to continue to give to him your heart. I know for me, the Lord has been calling me into deeper discipleship. Now, that may sound funny to you. It's like, oh, you're a pastor. What's wrong with you? God is calling me, I know it, to deeper discipleship. I left a meeting last year of our denomination, and all kinds of things happened there, man. There's some beautiful things, and there's some difficult, hard things that happened there. But I left there distinctly with this impression on my heart. Clarity, integrity, humility, and courage. I'm going to continue to explore those into the new year, but it's going to have to do with discipleship, a deeper discipleship. And I want to be able to invite you into that throughout next year with me. I accidentally, mistakenly, tragically left my sabbatical journal, which had everything from last year's sabbatical, from beginning to end. It was my heart poured out in all kinds of ways. It was reflections and different journal insights. It was filled with prayers. It was summaries of books I had read, amazing things, and interviews I had with all kinds of friends, family, mentors. But basically, like, how do you see the integration of God's will and your will? How does that, what does that look like for you? And I left it on a plane in October. You know, you're fooling around grabbing your stuff and you throw your journal out and it's sitting in the bin up there, right? And I'm short. So I go up to get my bag when we leave and I didn't even think to look and it was sitting in the bottom. It's gone. I did all the things to try to get it back. I wrote United, did all the things, send me notices. Oh, we'll let you know when we find it. You know, I even entered it in twice. And I haven't found it. So I'm resigned to the fact. I've actually given that over to God. But I grieved for a couple months after that. Well, I bought a super expensive one. Italian leather. And I started again. I almost couldn't pick it up. And I'm retracing some steps of those times and conversations and things I've read. And I'm beginning to write them down. I believe this is something I can give to God in the relationship of my own heart and life, right? When I spend time with him, as I reflect, as I write down what he speaks, and I try to listen. This year, God is inviting me to deeper discipleship and to making other disciples of Jesus. I have a conviction about this because I told you last week, some of you were here, but I'll tell you, if you weren't here last week, I just am not sure that discipleship is actually happening. Our American church has like sort of faded into some, we have some rhythms and we have some things we do. We come for worship on Sunday. There's things that happen. I know it. There's a message that's proclaimed. There's call and response. There's good rhythms. But the reason I say I'm not sure that, you know, bringing weekly messages even does a whole lot, and you can say different. I know that. You guys give me feedback. It's so good. It's good. Good. Thank you. Thank you. But as a disciple, are we making more disciples? There's a shift going on in the church. All of us pastors talk about it. There's a shift going on. I think for so long we relied on sort of maybe a movement of culture to carry some basic faith or morality type issues or some things like that that help reinforce. We relied maybe on schools for some of us. We relied on church to do it. There were things happening in the home that reinforced those sort of discipleship things. I am saying, because I think I know, because I see it all the time, that we have let too much not happen when it comes to discipleship. And folks, that's on me. I want to be faithful in that. So pray into this new year, because I see this year, 2024, being a year for me of discipleship, and I'm going to seek it, okay? I'm going to seek it. And we'll see where there are ways that we can all follow. All right. I was kind of self-revelatory there, but that's okay. It should be the real me, the real you, before our real God. That's when good things happen. Do you remember Simeon's response? And I'm going to end with this today. Do you remember Simeon's response when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple, as was Jewish custom? And Simeon had been waiting for the Messiah to come. He was old in years, but he had been waiting. And the Holy Spirit, it says in the Scripture, actually spoke to him and revealed to him, as he's been seeking for the Messiah all his life, looking at the Scriptures, seeing the promises, waiting for the Messiah. The Holy Spirit told him that you will not die until you see the Messiah. This sounds a lot like Abraham and Sarah, doesn't it? You're gonna have a baby. Okay, when? And here Mary and Joseph come with Jesus. Remember this story. And they bring it to Simeon, right? Anna as well, right? But I'm thinking of Simeon's words here. And as they do what is the Jewish custom for Jesus at his age, Simeon took Jesus in his arms and said, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." I was listening to some versions of In the Bleak Midwinter, because I like that song. And there was this version that came up. It might have been the Gettys, I don't know, singing it. But there's this Scottish, I think it's Scottish, sounded like it to me, voice that's speaking as the words begin to play. And I'm not going to do it. I thought maybe I'd practice this and do this. I'm not going to do it. No accent. But see if you can hear this. This was before the song was sung. It said, "Have you ever done like Simeon and taken Christ to yourself, who says, 'I could die now'? Now that I have this matter settled, Christ from the cradle who died on the cross for my punishment, I'd like to give my part. I'd like to give him anything that I have. If I were a shepherd, I'd give him a lamb. If I were wise, could do my part." Something to think about, huh? So think about it. To us a child is born, a Savior is given. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for your word. Thank you for Jesus being born. Thank you, Jesus, who chose to enter into our darkness. Lord, today we just thank you for the birth of Hannah. Would you be with Mom? Would you be with Dad? And with baby Hannah? Lord, today we are probably beginning, if we have not already, lots of family engagements, lots of interaction. And Lord, even in light of the message today, we know that, hey, some of our relationships are good, some of them not so good. But Lord, we pray that you would be the Lord of all of our communications, relationship contacts, family feasts and celebrations, gift giving. Would you be the one that shines in the darkness? Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.